I have some things jotted down here just to touch on. Staying humble. We've heard a lot about that already. Stay humble. It's a bad thing, not a bad thing, but I'll tell you what you can do. I've seen this. It really means a lot to you young brothers and sisters how you get started in the ministry. Because if you get started wrong, you're going to waste some years trying to get it back right. Is that not right? You're going to waste some precious years by trying to get it started back, get it all back just the way it's supposed to be in the beginning. If you run too fast, and I have been an advocate all along that it's just as bad to get ahead of the Lord as it is to get behind the Lord. Because you're still away from God. And this is advice that I give everybody, young converts and all. The devil has two things, ways that he works. Many ways, but I'm specifying two. First thing he tries to do when you get saved is cause you to give up. Quit. Go back. And if you determine, I will not go back, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to stand true, the next thing you can expect is for him to get behind you and start pushing you. And he's going to push you right on out as fast as he can get you to move. And he's going to make you think that you just got to go. You've got to go. You've got to preach. Wait on your calling. We heard about that today. Wait on your calling. And he'll get you out there and he'll make you think that God's given you some big job to do and he's given you something to preach. I remember a young fellow that I loved, still love him, but I carried a burden for years for that brother, that boy. Prayed for him, worked with him, dealt with him. He finally came over to my house and got saved down in my basement. Went back home and it got some confusion, rose in the place where he lived at. He got mixed up in that confusion. I cried with him. I pleaded with him. I cried with him. And right in the midst of all this confusion, he felt like God called him to preach and give him the message to straighten this mess out. I said, brother, Lord, don't call people in this kind of condition. Lord ain't going to call you in this kind of a circumstance. You heard from the wrong source. And I said, if God's got a message to straighten this mess out, he ain't going to give it to you. He's going to give it to somebody that's got enough experience to know how to handle the thing. Would that not be reasonable? Well, the boy went on and it proved out that he wasn't called to preach. And I don't know where he's at now. In the Lord of me. But stay humble. You'll get your time, as we've heard. You'll get to have your duties and your responsibilities. But one of the worst things I've noticed is a young fella moving out too fast. You just get out there and you're going to stumble somewhere and you're going to get into something you don't know how to handle and you're going to become discouraged and you're going to be wondering if you're even called to preach or not. And people have backslid over this thing. I know a young brother that was, I feel, was called to preach when he was 15, 16 years old. And that brother boy could get up in the pulpit and you could see God, feel God in that boy. It was more than just a boy up there. And he set for himself a standard to live like an old minister who had been saved for 30-some years. And he tried to act like and live like and conduct himself just like that man that had been saved for 30-some years. He would not fool with the young people very much. He would not go out to their little social things that they do on the side sometimes. And that boy set a standard for himself so high that he couldn't live it himself. And he finally, well, Gordon knows who I'm talking about. He finally got confused or whatever happened to him. He lost out with God. And that's been what? Years ago, 20, 15, 20 years ago. And as far as I know, he's never been back to church where the saints are. These are experiences I'm telling you about.
Huh?
He's a living in adultery, just not here. A few years ago, him and another fellow traded wives. That boy preached, and I mean, he was anointed to preach. Brother Don knows who I'm talking about. So don't set standards too high that you can't live for. It's all right to pat and look at the older ones and all, but I'm going to tell you, I heard Brother McCoy say one time, it's taken me 30 years to get where I am now. Mm-hmm. Well, it's taken me almost 30 years to get where I am now. And you've got to grow. You've got to grow. There's a growing period. And the only way you can get it is to grow with it. You don't jump. You don't get to be a man in a few days. You don't do it. God's wiser than that. We heard last night about a novice. And so, if you call to the ministry, don't get involved in things. That's why I got written down here. Don't get involved in things. Study the Word. Seek the Lord. Get your message. Heard about an old minister one time that had five young preachers in his congregation. He told them, he said, I want every one of you to get you a message. Then I want you to hold it and sit there. Just come to the meeting and sit there. Get you a message and come to the meeting and sit there. And he said, someday the Lord will open the way for you to deliver your message someday. The Lord will make a way for you. Is this all right so far? I know what I'm talking about. Because I've been through it. And I would love, and I feel like maybe this will be about most what I'm going to be able to do the rest of the few years that I have. And I'd like to be able, what few years. I know my days of traveling are very limited. And in fact, I'm praying now about where my place is in the body. I mean now. I mean in the immediate future. But I would like to be able to, if I could just pass along and help you not to make the mistakes that I made, I feel that would be valuable. And these are mistakes that many young ministers fall into. Stay humble, submit yourself, and I've got the word teachable. You must stay teachable. We all must do that, but especially young ministers. Don't you ever let the devil think you that you know it all. You must stay teachable. You must be willing to take counsel. You must be willing to take advice. Instructions. I have watched this thing over the years. And I've watched young ministers start out. And I've watched those who would stay humble and stay teachable and seek counsel, seek advice, seek help from the older ministers. And I've watched them grow and prosper and move into positions in the church. There's some positions in the church that needs to be filled right now. There's a very, very shortage of pastors. And we'd hardly have any evangelists at all. May the Lord help us now. There's many places needs to be filled. But I have watched some of these young ministers that was teachable and humble, willing to receive instruction. Even some of them, like we already mentioned the meeting, from a fellow like me. That I know, like I said before, that I knew they were more brilliant-minded than I was, and they had better education than I did. But I, not because they got me, but from others also. And I've watched some of those young ministers grow and mature. And some of them right now is moving in, holding down responsible positions in the church. And I've watched other young ministers that would not do this. They say, I'm going to get mine from the Lord. You better watch that attitude. You better watch it. This meeting right here will be criticized by some because they feel like we're... I've even had phone calls that said that they heard we were starting a preacher's college here. Now that just shows you what can be said. If we don't need to teach one another, I don't know, there's something wrong with it somewhere. And I've watched, like I said, some that would not got moved out too fast and thought they knew too much and would not stay humble and teachable. And I've watched them stumble along for years and years. And some of them are still just stumbling along. Good ministers, good brethren. But they're still not holding a responsible position in the church. What are you talking about? It's a responsibility to be a minister. But there's some greater responsibility than that. Brother Warren said today that he felt like every evangelist ought to be a pastor for a while. I'm fully in agreement with that. Because I've caused a lot of pastors a lot of heartaches in my days gone by. And I didn't know it. Till I got to trying to help a little bunch. And since I've been trying to help a little bunch, I've had preachers to leave me some heartaches. So I got it paid back to them. Wasn't that said today? As you meet it out, it'll come back. May the Lord help us now. These are facts. So stay teachable. Yes, you can get yours from the Lord. Yes, Paul could have got his from the Lord too. But the Lord called Ananias. He didn't even call him one of the big apostles up there. I don't know about Ananias. I've heard somebody say that he was just a businessman somewhere. He said, Ananias, I've got a job for you. Go over there. And Paul could have said, I was in there. Who are you coming over here and praying for me? I don't know you. But no. He sent him over to anoint and pray for him. You see the Holy Ghost. Scales fell off in his eyes. Baptized him. Yes. We are in contact with the Lord. Personally, we should be. We must be. But I tell you, God's got channels that he works through. He's got channels of authority that he works through. And he's passing it on down to you. He told us, we read that scripture there in Timothy, you take this now that I've given you and pass it on to faithful men. This is God's plan. We don't have this. We don't have a preacher's college, and we never will. The church of God never will have. But in a sense of the word, you'll be, if you've got an opportunity to be under a pastor, you'll certainly be in a good college. If you'll humble your heart and be teachable and submissive and bow down and let that pastor teach you till God says it's time to go, then you can go out with a message and you can go out and accomplish something or other for God. But if you don't, you're just going to be bouncing here and there.
name.
May the Lord help us now. I believe when a God calls, this is my personal, you might not agree with this. I know there's helps in the church, there's assistants, and there's young ministers, and there's different types of ministers in a way. But I seem to think that when the Lord definitely calls a man into the ministry, or woman, either one, that he has something special in mind for that minister. He has some kind of a special job that he's got in mind to use that minister. He gave some apostles, some evangelists, some prophets, some teachers. How many pastors do we have in here? How many prophets do we have in here? How many evangelists do we have in here? How many teachers do we have in here? May the Lord help us now. I believe if we'll start out right, we'll end up right. And I believe if you young minister, that we'll start out humble and teachable, submissive, God can lead you on out into a field, into a labor, where your labor will be effectual, and where you can move on into an office in the church. There's a lot of places that don't have a pastor at all now. And I personally know of a number of congregations across the country, back east and south and other places, that have gone completely down over the years for a lack of a preacher being there. I baptized one time 19 people at one time in a place, and they begged us to move there, and we had just moved somewhere else just before that. They got saved, truly saved. They were unlearned people. They wanted to know what the teaching was. They wanted to know what the truth was. They wanted to know why we don't do this. Why this and why that. Young wives and husbands, we tried to work with them, go all that we could, and wear ourselves out with them. But to this day, I only know one of them that's left right now, still living for God. I've seen congregations go down for the lack of somebody to lead them. God help us tonight. I don't know who's going to be responsible for all these things. I don't know. I hope I am. Been a burden on my heart over the years. So, you say, well, that just shows a need to get on out and go. But if you get on out and go before God sends you, you'll do more harm than you will good. All right now. Yeah, but I see this need. Well, just because there's a need, that don't mean that you're the one that can fulfill that need. God has different ministers and different callings. We're not all called to do the same thing. I remember one time, I was in a meeting one time, a tent meeting in a place. I had a special burden for a whole congregation of people there. And we went there, and we was there in a tent meeting, and we'd been in contact with these people. And I knew that they was mixed up in this one word teaching. But they had opened their pulpit to me, and I went there in a tent meeting. There was another family that we were much burdened for. We went there and worked in with those people and got their favor to an extent, and went there, and I preached Saturday night and Sunday morning in their chapel, and they closed their services for the rest of the week. Come to that tent meeting. And they came, and they was listening, and there was a fine brother, a brother that I have all confidence in the world, came along. And I had to leave. I believe I was called to perform a wedding, and I had to leave. And I left the service in charge of this fine brother, a brother that I had all confidence in the world. And he knew that they was one work people in that country. And he went up there and he preached a message on two works of grace right down the line. Every word, truth that he preached. And they didn't come back anymore. They didn't come back anymore. Before I got a chance to give them many truths, where they could work up and get a hold of some more truth, why they got offended and didn't come back. Just because we're a minister, that don't mean that we fit everywhere. Is that right? So we need to know, not only be led of the Lord, but we need to know where the Lord wants us to be. Some evangelist and some pastor and some teacher. So stay teachable.
Amen.
Like I said, I've watched the other side, and they just seem like many times, after a while, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, they'll finally wind up, maybe turn out pretty good. But they've wasted 10 years. Or they could have been filling a responsible position. I tell you, there's more to just preaching than this preaching. You've got to get a place, let God lead you into a place of responsibility. You've got to get to the place to where you can be a servant to all. You got to fix the refrigerator. You got to go to the doctor, to the hospital, wherever they have their children, and hold the husband by the hand, walk up and down the corral with him while the baby's coming. And you got to leave your house when the little one, somebody in the congregation, little babies are dying. We had that here a year or two ago. You got to leave your home and go over there and stay there day and night, and don't eat nothing, and don't sleep very little. That's not preaching on all day meetings. That ain't. That's just not preaching on all day meetings. God wants you and I to get to the place where we can have some responsibility. May the Lord help us now. And when they don't show up on Sunday morning, you say, "Where are they?" Well, I don't know. I just feel like I'm just not coming back to church no more. Yeah, now here you are. What are you going to do now? I tell you what you do. You go to bed and you don't sleep. Is this the kind of preaching we're talking about? Is this what preacher is supposed to be? This is more than just going to camp meeting, isn't it? So you got what I'm trying to tell you. If you get out too quick and go before you're ready, we heard today, you're going to run into things you cannot handle. You need to prepare. Wait. Be taught. Teachable. I got down here getting started right. We'll try to hurry along here. I know you're getting tired. I got wrote down here being too bold. If you want people to turn you down, you just get real bold when you've only been preaching just a few days. And you come in and you're going to straighten the church out right now. This thing has got out of hand. And them old preachers are let down and they are all gone. They're losing their vision. And I'm going to straighten this thing out. I'll tell you what you're heading for. You're heading for a fall. The Lord's going to pull the rug right out from under you, and you're going to drop in a hole. Now, I know what I'm talking about, because I've had some rugs pulled out from under me. Not by the devil, but by the Lord. What was it they said? About the boy that growed up and got 19, He told his dad, he said, "I don't know how you got so smart in the last year or so." My boys used to tell me, one of them's here, they used to think I was kind of conservative. I've always been a kind of conservative fellow, even with my money and other things. I don't believe wasting things. And of course, we didn't have that much money to spend, and they thought because I wouldn't buy them this, and I wouldn't take them there, and I wouldn't do this, they thought I was just tight. But now they're married, and now they know why I was tight. They got bills to pay too. So Dad wasn't so wrong after all. And sometimes you think these fellas have lost their vision and they don't have no anything left. One of these days I'm going to wonder, how did they get so smart so quick? Yeah, well, they didn't change. You just grew up, that's all. You just grew up. Yeah, you can learn to drive better. Yeah. May the Lord help us now. These are facts. Telling experiences. I've been guilty. I was guilty of all these things, many of them. I've heard young preachers that hadn't had no experiences hardly at all. And they get up and tell what they used to do when they were young. May the Lord help us now. Have you ever heard anything like that? You'd just think they'd been through all the wars and they'd been through all the things that ever come along. Just experience. You know what that does? That just turns saints off. And you're going to wonder why they're not saying amen and why they're going to sleep on you. Because it sounds kind of boring. Because they know you don't know what you're talking about. May the Lord bless us now.
Amen.
Like I said, I'm not bringing out a lot of scripture, but I'm bringing out some experiences, I think.
Amen.
And some things I've seen. But then Paul said every time I call to remembrance of things, you know. And knowing too much. Well, it's all right to know all you can. Study all you can. Study to show yourself approved. But don't ever leave the impression that you know everything. That'll turn off people quicker than anything. They're going to turn down on you, and when you get up to preach, they're going to slide down their seat. They got to go through this again. May the Lord help us now.
Amen.
You're going to sit there, and Brother Willis M. Brown, I believe, said the first time he got up to preach, he walked about 2 miles and drank 2 quarts of water and sat down. And that's what will happen to you. You'll get up there, and you won't get no amens, and the devil will jump on you, and you'll feel like you're completely, you wish you could find a knothole somewhere you could get in. You don't have enough humility or grace to sit down. I know, I've been up there. Huh?
Can't stay up,
you can't sit down. Oh, I wish I hadn't got up here. How can I get out of this spot? If I sit down, they're going to know I'm a fool. If I stay up here, I am a fool. I've been through these things. Where's that door at? I wish I hadn't even come to this camp meeting. In fact, now that I think about it, I felt like the Lord checked me and told me not to come. That's right. Give the Lord time to train you. Stay teachable. Be instructed. Don't come out with that old know-it-all. Going to straighten out the old preachers. Some of them old preachers have been through more. What he said over there and suffered the heat of the day or something other. been through battles and experiences that you don't know anything about. I hear some preachers sometime up, and I just bless their hearts. I don't make fun of them because I did the same thing. And I hear them talk about that, and I say, well, now, I know they don't realize what they're saying. They really don't know about that. And I think, well, I was the same way, you know. I was the same way. And then about time I get thinking, well, there's no hope for them. And then the Lord said, well, you remember what you'd like? You was just about like them one time. May the Lord bless you. And I mentioned this a while ago, trying to straighten out the church. This is bad. Young brothers and sisters, the church isn't good. It's getting along fine. I know we have problems, and I know we've always had problems. We've always had folks around that didn't measure up. And some can sit right in the front seat for 10 years and still won't measure up. And you look at them and you see them. Somebody told me one time they want to start a congregation. I said, all right. You go over there and you move that place and you get your couples with you there and start out. You visit. You pray, you get a few folks saved. Then I said, you work for that congregation, you fast and you pray. And I said, in about 10 years, you'll have a pretty good, maybe you'll have a pretty good little congregation there in that place. But I kind of drew back. I ain't going to put 10 years in on a thing like that. You know the Lord don't get in a hurry like we do. The Lord is looking for, let me say this right now, quality rather than quantity. May the Lord help us tonight. Don't try to straighten out the church. Don't get your zeal run away with you. Because when you get up there and you start trying to straighten out the church, then the people are going to, they're not going to receive that. Because they know you don't realize what you're talking about. Many times. May the Lord bless us now. Amen. Seek the Lord. Brother Wilson wrote out last night about the Lord giving a message, and it's up to you to go ahead and get to something else, whatever he said. I remember Brother Gibson said one time that the way he got his message from the Lord, that the Lord gave him a skeleton, and then he left it up to him to put the meat on it. So, yeah, you don't get up. I've been in revival meetings where I preached. One time I preached 60 times in 60 days, and I never preached the same message one time. And then I got to the place where got up at night. Maybe I hadn't had time that day to study, to get along with the Lord. Been busy, maybe something doing for the Lord or traveling. And the Lord would bless and anoint. Oh, just thoughts would just fill me, and they came to me faster than I could put them out. But boy, this is going to be an easy meeting. The next day I'd get out and I'd loaf around downtown. I'd sleep in some. My, that was wonderful last night. Then I get up that night and I didn't have nothing to say. And the Lord didn't give me very much to say. May the Lord help us then. Trying to straighten out the church. Keep our name clean. That we've heard a lot about that in the meeting. I tell you, you get a bad start, you're going to have to suffer over it. Keep your name clean.
Amen.
Don't be. May the Lord help us. Don't be too fast to move out.
Amen.
You can get a bad name in camp meeting. Young preacher can. Old preachers can too. By moving too quickly and too fast. moving right out. Older ministers there, evangelists there, pastors there. I know we don't designate who's going to preach or set any certain service aside for any certain type of preacher. But don't it make sense that the Lord would use the best he had, wouldn't he? Don't move too fast. Don't be too bold. Don't push yourself out. I know you want to feel like you're part of the whole thing, and you are. I know you want to be counted as one of the old ministers. And you know, there's a little pride goes along with that name, minister, if you ain't careful. May the Lord help us now. They see me over home, they don't recognize me anymore a lot of times. I wear old overalls, got paint all over them. And most of the time got a hammer hanging on the side. And I don't know. There's a little, you know, I'm not ashamed to be called a preacher, but some places I just kind of draw back a little bit. Preachers got such a bad name in the world. They say that they're the number two, I believe, worst credit reference in the country, preachers. And they're the worst insurance risk. Preachers got bad names. I mean, worldly preachers. May the Lord help us tonight. Keep our names clean. Don't get involved. Name better than choice. Good reputation. Good to have a good reputation. Good. Even better to have a good character. People can tear your reputation down, but they can't tear your character down. If I went by all the things I'd had said about me, I'd be in real big trouble. If I'd listened to them, been affected by them, I'd have been quit and gone back to cutting hair a long time ago. They can say what they want to, but I know how I live. Amen. And you can go back home and ask how I live. And you can let my wife get up here and testify if you want to. And they can make slanderous remarks about you, but you just be sure they're not true. Yeah. May God bless us tonight. Be humble. Be teachable. Don't try to give the impression that you know everything, because it's going to make it harder on you. Now, God can move you right on out. He moves some. Seem like some are more receptive. They're receptive, I can get that word out. They're better than others. I've often made the expression that you go down on the street and bring in 10 sinners that didn't know anything about the truth, set them every one down on the front seat and preach to every one of them the same message every Sunday, and every one of them would grow at a different pace. Every one of them would grow at a different pace. People are different in their ability to understand. And God knows how much ability you and I have. And just because you see him moving somebody on out maybe a little faster than you, don't get jealous of that. God will move you at his pace. He knows what you're capable of doing. He has a place for you in the body. He has a call for you. And if you'll be teachable, stay out of trouble. Stay out of trouble. I've been in so many things that I feel like retired. Well, if I can't do nothing else, maybe I can help somebody. And I've consecrated my life to God to be used any way he wants me to. If you want to make a scapegoat out of me, go ahead. I've been used in that very category. One time, I'll tell this on myself before I sit down. Some of you heard it before. Brother Bobby remembered it. We're down to Hammond, Louisiana. Got a little mix up down there when it come time to preach. Now, Brother Effinger got up and started to get up. He got up, started to get up, and another couple sitting over here got up and sang a special. And he sat down. Brother Effinger went back and sat down. Up until this time, I don't believe I'm right about this. I don't think the colored minister has been preaching down there. Never had a priest there, I don't believe. So Brother Effinger, he didn't know this. So he just got up, started. Well, after the couple sat down, Brother Effinger didn't get back up. He didn't get up. Sit there. So, I still don't know what happened altogether, but I got up and got in the pulpit. And here I found, that's one of them times I tell you about a while ago, I got up there. And here I am up here trying to preach. And went on, struggled along for a while. And then time quit, here comes somebody at the altar, weeping and praying. And they called me down there, the altar. Said, you got in the way of that colored brother. I said, what? Yeah, I said, you got in his way. Oh, I felt so bad. And I got back up in the pulpit, and I said, Brother Effinger, come up here. And Brother Effinger, I've had a lot of things wrong with me in my life, but they've never been a prejudice bone in my body. And I said, Brother Effinger, come up here. Isn't that about right, Brother?
Put you on right.
And he came up there, and that house was full that night, assembly meeting. And I put my arms around, and I said, Brother Effinger, I said something like this. Seemed to me like there'd been a little confusion here tonight. I don't know what's going on, but I said, seemed to me like I've gotten your way or something like that. And I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. And I said, if I've gotten your way, I'm sorry. And I took him in my arm and I kissed him right there in front of all those Southern folks. It broke that thing wide open, didn't it? There was an old fellow there that had been needing to get saved for years. He said, I never seen a white man give a colored man before. Here I am standing up here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm up here and what's all this about. And the Lord was working. And the Lord broke that thing down. And Brother Effinger got up the next morning, if I remember right, and brought a good message with lots of amens and fully receptive. And it's been that way ever since. Kind of broke that thing open. The colored brother's been free to preach down there ever since. You like to be a scapegoat for God? Would you like for him to stand you up in front of a whole house full of people and make you apologize? Could you stand that while you're so young? No, you couldn't. By the grace of God, you could. Yeah. May the Lord bless us tonight. These are just a few things. I could stand here until 4 o'clock in the morning and tell you things that's happening along the line. Oh, it's been an adventurous life. I tell you, this preaching is the most exciting thing I've ever been acquainted with. There hasn't hardly been a dull moment. I told my wife one thing about our life. It ain't routine, that's for sure. Oh, it's wonderful. I tell you, I get in some of the most exciting things. Oh. Sometimes the tension is so great that your stomach will roll and your nerves will play. You talk about riding a roller coaster, I'll tell you. I've been places where you just couldn't, your knees are cranking, your stomach are rolling, and heart missing a beat. The devil says, I remember one time Akron, Ohio, years ago, I was up there and my nerves, this is where I guess my nerves about to crack. My old heart hit. I was sitting there, my arm got numb. The devil said, you're having a heart attack. You know, a lot of people have a lot of nerves. There is something called a preacher's disease. It's a nerve problem. I got up while they were singing, went down to the basement there in Akron. Got down and prayed to the Lord, I'm here to preach. If I'm having a heart attack, I'd just soon die here anywhere. And I went back upstairs and preached, and I was preaching hard back in those days. I never had a heart attack. I could all that. Still living. These are just a few of the experiences that we've had along the way.